Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
And tonight we just viewed The Invisible Man.
We need each other, don't we?
Are you okay? Hurry, please.
Wherever you go.
Hello?
I'm standing right behind you. I know you better than anyone else in the world.
He has figured out a way to be invisible.
You could.
Please listen to me.
I know that you feel like you're going insane sometimes. I'm the only one who can help you.
I see you!
The Invisible Man, rated R.
We wanted to watch this film because we've been waiting for it. We had the opportunity to do so. So we wanted to do a bonus episode of something that we just recently saw and get a reaction from it.
And while we're here, we'll also get around to the Candyman trailer too.
Oh, okay. We're gonna cover that. Yes, because that was obviously that's a Blumhouse production, so that was gonna be in the.
I don't know if Candyman is Blumhouse.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's from Jordan Peele, but I don't know if it's a Blumhouse.
You see, I just thought Jordan Peele, Blumhouse.
Yeah. Well, so, The Invisible Man.
Lee Warnell.
Yes.
Directed.
And wrote.
And wrote and did the screenplay and wrote the thing.
He did the original story, the screenplay.
He produced it.
Produced it. He was all over it.
What didn't he do? Was he also The Invisible Man?
He might have been. We just couldn't tell.
Yeah, well, he was invisible, so that's... Yep. That's the thing. Elizabeth Moss is playing the role of Cecilia.
Yep.
And we know her from Mad Men and Handmaid's Tale.
Us.
And Us. And Oliver Jackson Cohen, he was Luke Crane, if you remember, from The Haunting of... I always fuck up
Hill the House.
Name of this damn movie. The Haunting of Hill... Or the series, The Haunting of Hill House. I always want to say The House on Haunting Hill. So it's like twisted up. And then you have a young 16-year-old Storm Reed. The cast is just really like five people.
Yeah, there's not a lot of main characters in it. There's a lot of, you know, just people, extras in it. But
she's from Euphoria, if you're familiar with this show, when Zendaya on HBO. Everyone did a fantastic job on the film.
Oh, yeah. Everything, all the performances in this are great.
So the movie starts off and it's going to be a mini spoiler. I know I probably had like a aneurysm right now.
We'll say mild spoilers.
It's a mild spoiler. It's the orange packet on Taco Bell spoiler, right?
Yes.
It's a mild color. And, I have to say that when the movie started, you have, you know, Elizabeth Moss, she wakes up, Cecilia wakes up and... You know, she's creeping around the house and you see that she's like gathering stuff. And from obviously everyone has seen the trailer. If you have seen the trailer, you know that she's being stalked by her boyfriend, husband, whomever, her partner. And she's trying to get away from him.
Yeah, they're in a massively abusive relationship.
Now, the movie starts off this way and there's certain things... that, you know, she's gathering her bag that she's hidden that has her like new identity or whatever, not new identity, but like her money and, you know, her clothes and all that stuff, her getaway bag. And then she goes into the like one part of the house is a freaking mansion and there's just, it's on the water. You know, water's like hitting the cliffs, the whole shebang, and it's overlooking, there's like glass windows everywhere, and I'm like, this is, so I go over to Shad, I'm like, this is Sleeping with the Enemy. This is Sleeping with the fucking Enemy. Like, I was blown the fuck away. But it's Sleeping with the Enemy meets Invisible Man.
Yeah, it is literally that. If you like Sleeping with the Enemy and always thought to yourself, but what if he was invisible?
I fucking love that movie, which is why I knew there's like certain shots, whether this was intentional or not intentional, I don't give three fucks. So like, I don't care because the movie, I was trying to hide my excitement and like my like whatever about it. The movie's fucking fantastic. If you do not like this movie, then I don't know. I can't have nothing to say to you. I'm baffled. I'm speechless.
Because it works really well as just... you could almost take out the Invisible Man element and just have it be about a stalker, and it would still work pretty well.
Yeah, everyone, like we said, everyone has fantastic performance levels, like, in this. The suspense right off the bat, like, I could barely breathe. I was just, like, so anxious at 5 minutes into this movie because I don't even know her. Like, I don't even know this character. I know just from what I know from the trailer. And I'm, like, gasping for air because I'm terrified for her. Like, I know what's up. Like, if he fucking wakes up, what's gonna happen? So, right off, it was very nerve-wracking for me, the whole film. The camera work, you do notice the camera, which is fine because it works for what the movie does with the camera.
Yeah, because you get this feeling that every time you see the camera moving, is like, you're like, oh, am I seeing this from his point of view? Is this him moving in on her, or is this just the camera moving?
And the film, and let me tell you, this concept, this movie has been done a lot of times.
Been tons of movies back in the 40s and 50s with it. I think there's been 4 or 5 TV shows about the Invisible Man. There was one most recently, I don't know if you saw it. It was in the late 90s, early 2000s, about a guy that he had like the worst hair I've ever seen in my life. It literally looked like he just like touched a light socket. His hair was sticking up all over all the time.
It was 90s hair.
And he would turn invisible. And he had the weird look, like when he turned visible again, it looked like everything was just like breaking and falling off of him, like the invisible shards or whatever.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it was very low budget effects, but they tried because that show went on for several seasons. So they've had a few successes with Invisible Man TV shows.
Somebody was looking at it. And I'm going to tap into that in a second. I want to say that this is based on a novel by H.G. Wells. Almost all of the Universal monsters are based off of novels.
Yeah.
More or less. I think the only one is The Creature.
Yeah, The Creature and The Wolfman.
The Wolfman. Okay. And I want to tap into that. What makes The Invisible Man so popular? Just a concept of it. Oh, by the way, that movie with Chevy Chase that I love.
Yeah, John Carpenter's Diary of an Invisible Man.
Yes, I fucking love that movie, okay? I love it.
Or, I'm
I
sorry, it on, Memoirs of an Invisible
Memoirs
Man.
Memoirs of the Invisible Man. I have it on VHS. I think it's on Tubi or Vudu. It's a great movie.
Shout Factory just released it, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I need to get that. Love it.
That and one's good. And Hollow Man. Yeah, I was going to say Hollow Man was a lot of fun, too. Hollow Man was a lot of fun, too.
That was a weak high five. Let's...
We were trying not to break the microphone and freak the cats out. That's what I was trying not to do.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a rule breaker, so we just had to do it.
Yeah, I think with The Invisible Man, I think part of it is it's a little bit of everybody's fantasy because everybody would like to be invisible. Yep. Mm-hmm. Everybody would like to be in and see what's going on, be like, you know, oh, I need to see what this person does. And just hang out in their house and see what goes on. A little bit of the voyeuristic aspect of it. And the other thing is, the Invisible Man, if you think about it, of all the Universal monsters, he's the only one that's not technically a monster.
Correct. But is he, though? See, that's the beauty of, like,
he's the human
by
monster.
H.G. Wells. Yes, he's the monster within all of us because he just taps into that dark part of you, and you have a dark part. It may be minute, but it's there, and everyone can relate to it one way or another. Like you said, it's the fantasy, and that's what makes him the monster. Because humans, at the end of the day, are the true monsters.
Yeah, because Dracula, he didn't want to be a vampire. Frankenstein and the Bride, they didn't ask to be made. The Wolfman got bit. The Creature, he's just a creature trying to hang out in these, Black Lagoon. And, the white man's down there bothering him like they always do.
So you see, at the end of the day, the humans were the creatures and all of those, with the exception of...
It's the Scooby-Doo thing. Scooby-Doo taught us that the only real monsters are humans.
Yes.
Specifically, old white men.
Oh, goodness. Before the movie starts, let's go back just 5 seconds. There are a ton of trailers, and one of the trailers, as I suspected, which I did add in the Horror Society page, was Candyman. Mm-hmm. Whether we know or not, whether or not Blumhouse had anything to do with it, I haven't looked it up yet, but Candyman, written by Jordan Peele, It's directed by a woman, so hopefully it works out better than Black Christmas, because that movie blew. And or I'm sorry, I thought that movie blew. Shad actually liked the movie, and it was okay. It was okay. Let's not get into the Black Christmas.
All right.
So we will be discussing our reaction to the Candyman after we discuss this movie.
I gotta say, even just the opening credits on The Invisible Man were pretty good, where it's the water splashing onto the rocks, and then they hit the, like, the titles come up like it's, you know, it was invisible, but the water made it visible for a second, and it kind of scrolls down. I like that a lot.
There's an Easter egg, which we kind of, we're just going to say there's an Easter egg in the movie, and if you find it, then let us know what it is and where it is.
Yeah, because I was pretty, I was pretty amused with it.
Yeah, so was I.
It was pretty quick, but it was like, oh shit, there it is.
And there's two shots of it. There's two shots of it, and within the same shot, it's very fast, but it lingers for like at least 2 seconds.
Just long enough for you to get it. What's going on?
Oh goodness, I don't know what I would do in that situation. We have Cecilia, you know, trying to get away from her abusive partner. It's unclear whether or not they're married or not. It's unclear, but whatever. They're together, and he's doing terrible things to her to the point where she feels like she needs to escape. And that's where the movie set up. The movie does a fantastic way, like we mentioned, you know, working with the cameras. Maybe it's the point of view of the Invisible Man. The suspense is there. The story's there. There's character development for each character. At least the main four characters, you know, and you develop a connection with her.
Yeah, and you know from the trailer right off the bat that, you know, the husband's supposed to be dead, and he, you know, she feels like he's coming after her, but no one's going to believe her for that. You see that right in the trailer, but it still does a great job of, at first it's kind of like, oh, there's a couple of little things that happen, you're like, we could possibly explain that off as just, you know, she's paranoid or she's upset about things. But as it gets going on, you see more and more like creepy things happening. And they do a great job of with the effects are pretty subtle in most of it. They don't need like, you know, you didn't have to have a supercomputer to do these effects. They could have done this movie 20 years ago and it would have come out about the same, you know?
Yeah. This, like I said, I hope this movie does well. Because I want to see more of it. I want to see more of the universe, what these other, you know, whoever is going to be taking over the other ones, if that's even a possibility. The budget for the movie was $9 million, which is a little above the average 5-6 million that Blumhouse usually does, but this one was $9 million, understandably.
There's a few more effects, and Elizabeth Moss is more well-known, so I'm sure they had to pay her a little extra.
For sure, and she deserved every fucking penny, because she was believable.
Yeah, like, she did a great job.
She did a fantastic job. There's like a little, I don't want to say a twist, but the way that they explained the whole invisibility thing was a modern take of it without being insanely out of this world modern, like Black Mirror kind of style. It's
like, okay, this could have happened. This could be in 20 years. There could be a thing like this.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give it 20 years. It's probably already a fucking thing like it, you know? It's like invisibility cloak.
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, it's typically like an accident of some kind or a potion that he drinks that turns him invisible.
But we're not going to say what it is.
Yeah, we're not saying what it is, but usually there's some sort of, a lot of times it's an accident that, you know, Memoirs of an Invisible Man, it was an accident. Hollow Man, yeah, they were trying to turn him invisible, but, you know, they didn't realize they couldn't turn him visible again. But they do a good job of explaining how it happens and what goes on with it. And, yeah, there are some decent twists in it that I thought I knew what was going to happen, but then it turned out I didn't. I was like, this is going to be this. And, oh, no, it wasn't. So I always enjoy that when, you know, you think you've gotten ahead of the story, but you find out you haven't. So that's always good.
There's a lot of kill scenes.
There's a lot of great, I'm sure as you hear or see in the trailer, there's a lot of great Invisible Man action in this.
Let's not say kill scenes, because there are some survivors, but let's just say yes, Invisible Man, what would you say, skills?
Action.
Invisible Man action. You know, if there was like, you know how they put up like the parental guidance thing?
And yeah.
It will say like the most ridiculous thing, like
historical smoking.
Yes, historical smoking.
That's my favorite one, is like historical smoking. Like, wow, we smoked a cigarette today and it was fucking historic.
It's going to say Invisible Man action.
Yeah, there's a lot of Invisible Man action in this one. Which, you know, they did a good job with the effects on that, because it, I don't know if they did like a green screen for when the person's in the invisible suit, if they actually had someone on set, or if they just did this no one there. Either way would probably work for the way, you know, the way they had it choreographed. It looked really good.
That's true. It did look really good.
But all in all, I'd say it's a great, I would give this like out of like 4 knives, I'd give it 4.
Out of 4 knives, I would definitely give it 4. I want to give it 5 knives. Can we just round
it up? Give it an extra one there.
Just give it an extra one just for being extra awesome. Tell us how you like the film. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Why did you like it or hate it?
Yeah, leave us a comment and let us know. And now we can talk about Candyman. One more time, Candyman, because we're not looking in the mirror, so it's fine.
I think it's 5 times. Candyman. I'm just going to throw it in there just in case.
Yeah. This was the, you know, everybody was kind of wondering what they were going to do with it, and you're still kind of wondering what they're going to do with it.
You fucking don't know. You have no idea.
There's a lot of different ways they could be going with this based on the trailer. I'm going to say, one, they could be going the Freddy 2 route, where there's someone else becoming the Candyman. It could just be that someone is...
I mean, that's my thing. I want you to tell the world, okay, what you think who the Candyman is. But before you do... No, go. And I'm going to expand upon what you just said.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think that this is going to be the baby from the first Candyman movie. I think he's going to have grown up. He's going to have this, because they say in the thing, he feels like I have this strange attraction to the Candyman. I feel this connection. Because, as I posted earlier in the week...
Oh, wait, why do you feel like that, Chad?
Because, first of all, how did the Candyman take care of this baby? Because he did an amazing job. That baby was in there for days with the Candyman. He came out well-fed with a clean diaper. Can you just imagine the Candyman going to the CVS and getting the diapers late at night? And I can just hear the deep voice... Where are the baby diapers? And he's in there trying to, like, it's got to be a real bitch to diaper a baby with a hook for a hand.
He did the one hand.
He had to do, he's holding the baby down with the hook and then just, like, changing the diaper with his other hand. The bees are everywhere. But no, I do think that the main character in this one is going to be the baby that the Candyman was holding on to, you know, that he had abducted in the original. And that's why he's going to feel such a connection. And I think that's going to be... He's either going to be turning into the Candyman, or he's just going to be enacting what he thinks the Candyman is. Maybe this whole thing is not going to be supernatural at all. Who knows?
But what was the other reason you said about the actor specifically, what his name is?
The main character in this, his name is Anthony, and the baby in the original one's name was Anthony.
Boom, mic drop.
So that seems like too much of a coincidence to me. I think he's definitely going to be the baby from the first one.
Of course. And I totally agree with you. I'm not really a big fan of reboots, revisioning, reimagining, whatever you want to call it, remakes. There's very few and far between modern ones that are good in my eyes. I'm intrigued because, you know, Jordan Peele wrote it. I am a Jordan Peele fan. He has a vision, whether you like it or not. I'd rather watch a Jordan Peele movie than watch, you know...
Rob Zombie.
Definitely that, yes.
But the Poltergeist remake.
I was going to say a Poltergeist remake or a remake of Fright Night, which both movies fucking terrible.
The only part I liked in the Fright Night remake... There was the part where they're like, you can't come in the house. We didn't invite you. And he goes, I'll just burn the house down.
Yeah, that's true. He did do that.
Dracula never did it. I always wondered about that. Like, okay, well, just set the house on fire. They got to come out.
I feel like that was a bit extreme, but okay, yeah. He could have smoked out the house with like a smoke bomb.
Still, I'm just saying. He worked with what was available to him. Fire.
Fire.
Now, there are some shots in the trailer that you get some glimpses of, just some glimpses of the Candyman. You see, like, a little bit of the jacket, a little bit of the hook.
Well, the spoiler alert for you, the Candyman is still being played by Tony Todd.
Like, is he, though? Because it only credits him as Daniel Robitaille.
That's Candyman. I mean, that's it, the Candyman, though.
Is.
That's his name.
Is it, though?
But what do you mean, is it, though? That's his name.
It is
he
his name.
He got murdered, and then he became the Candyman.
Yeah, but maybe he's just playing Daniel Robitaille. He's not going to be playing the Candyman.
Or maybe people are young, and they weren't even alive when this motherfucking movie came out. And when they look at IMDb, they just see Daniel Robitaille, and they're like, oh, we don't know who that is. And they move on with their life. They don't do any
that's
further
just
research.
That's a way just... to deceive people.
Exactly. That's what I think it is. You do see a glimpse of him in when the character from Us, so the character, the actor from Us, Yaya, when Yaya is walking past the back of the car, you see Tony Todd's reflection in the mirror.
So is the thing going to be he's just becoming the Candyman? I don't know. But it's interesting that you see the coat and jacket for a little bit, and it's a different one than the original Candyman. It's more of like a honey yellow color, which, if I'm remembering the story correctly, is how they described it. I mean, the book, of course, took place in England. In the book of the novel, the little short story of the Candyman, which is called The Forbidden, it took place in England, and he was not a black guy. He was a tall, he wore like the honey colored coat. He was white, and he had like a red beard and red hair. He was more like the Irish Candyman.
I'm going to tell you, that sounds a little scary.
Yeah, it was a little scary, but when they found out they were going to have to film it in America, they switched it over to the characters and changed it around a little bit.
Well, we can tell from the trailer that the place where, which, what is the whole thing? The Dynamite? Not Dynamite.
Oh, Good Times. In the Good Times TV show, which also took place in Cabrini Green, one of the characters disappeared because the actor... he quit the show because he didn't like the way it was going. And they just explained to him that, oh, he died in an accident somewhere. And I was like, oh, he lived in Cabrini Green. He got killed by the Candyman.
Yeah, Shad has come up with this story. Shad has a lot of good stories about the Candyman. He's definitely a fucking huge fan of the Candyman.
Yeah, and I always assumed that, like, he lived in Cabrini Green, the Candyman killed him. Maybe that's why JJ was always, like, Dynamite and acting kind of crazy. He saw it, but no one was going to believe him, so...
Yeah, so he was just crazy with his hats.
He was a little crazy in these hats and everything.
So Cabrini Green in the trailer has been gentrified. And yeah. You have the Yaya from the guy from Us, who played the father. He is a photographer, and... he's going around taking pictures and whatnot of what's happening, and he starts building this connection. I really enjoy the fact that, because there was artwork in the original film.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that now you have this artist that's bringing it to the masses, kind of like Samara with the ring and the fucking VHS tape.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you want to spread the disease outside of the neighborhood. In order to do that, you have to grow the lore from within to the point where it's just spilling over. And now you have it in this gallery where you have all different kinds of people there, and he's going to react as revenge. And that whole, like, insulation of the mirrors and going in, fucking genius. Like, I love that aspect of it.
Yeah. It looks great. I'm happy with what I saw. I mean, I'm sure there's a line of people out there to tell you how terrible it is. But, you know, the trailer looks good. Let's wait and see how it is. Maybe it'll be great. Maybe it'll be terrible. But we don't know yet. So.
Yeah, I know that I said earlier, don't like any of those things, remakes and reboots and stuff. But there are exceptions. You know, are you able to take something and give it a different spin with still in tune keeping with the original story?
Well, that's just like the really all the Universal monsters. You can't really call any of those remakes or because there's been a million Draculas, a million werewolf movies, tons of Frankenstein.
They're all just adaptations of the novel.
Yeah, and with those, you know, there's so many different versions over the years that, you know, seeing a new one is just like, okay, great, there's a new Frankenstein, cool. Because there's always going to be a new version of that, and a lot of times they're good.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever was going on, you know, the movie came out in the early 90s. That wasn't really a time where black cinema or a lot of black actors were working or doing anything that wasn't the basic thing. Like, their people are doing today. So that's why there's not 1,000 Candyman movies. Like, there are Freddy's, like there are Jason's, like there are Michael's. There's so many of those. He is definitely a horror icon. Like, he's an iconic character who deserves to have another movie. Rebuild the franchise, like put it back out there and see if we can have more. I'm not saying I want to see 10 Candymans, but it's one of those things, like, he's toe-to-toe with them, even though he just literally has three movies. Yeah.
Well, with any of these characters, I'll see as many movies as are good, you know?
That's true.
If they could come up with 5 good Candyman sequels, I'm on board.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait to see how the Candyman thing is going to go. We're hopeful. And, you know, we're hopeful. And we really enjoyed The Invisible Man. And we want to thank you for joining us this evening. And go out to the theater and watch The Invisible Man. Oh, by the way, totally forgot that Fantasy Island movie that came out the week before is also a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah, they're kind of competing with themselves on this one.
Yeah, so that wasn't a good whoever chose to like have those movies come out. But I don't think it's a competition because no one's talking about Fantasy Island.
Yeah, I really haven't heard much about it. I kind of wanted to see it. It looked interesting on the trailer. You know, the whole like she's going to get revenge on her high school bully and all that. I was willing to give it a shot,
I guess. And then Candyman, not a Blumhouse movie that I can find. It doesn't really say who the fuck did it. To be honest, but Jordan Peele, that's it.
That's all you need to know.
Thank you so much. And guys, as always, stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.